is that they use this and go ahead and go to their seat. Amen. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. So we just love the Lord and thank Him for being with us this morning. And your brother Tim, if you'll turn my mic down just a little bit. Just a little bit too much there. Amen. Just want to remind everybody of our services next week that we're going to have with Brother Ben Norrod. So we're going to be in prayer about that service. Saturday night, Sunday morning. So trust that the Lord will do great things there. We're going to commit it into His hand, and we're going to approach those services believing that He will speak to our hearts and that He will accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Amen. So we want to remember that. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Let's pray that the Lord will touch our young people in the service that they're in there in Pawnee. Believe that the Lord has orchestrated that trip for them, and that each one will hear something that will speak to their hearts. Mm-hmm. Running out of time. The world's fixing to fold up here shortly, and we certainly want to see everyone come in that needs to come in, and those that are straggling behind. It's not the time for us to drop the ball. We need to press on, keep pressing. Mm-hmm. Start taking the ground that belongs to us.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And so I'm certain that the bride of Christ will certainly do this. Appreciate Brother Tim singing about When I See the Blood.
Yes.
Okay. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you, to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, how thankful we are to be able to come to your house this morning and to be gathered around your word. And as Brother Daniel mentioned, just to see your presence among us and see you showing yourself true to your word and on our behalf, Lord. It just means more than anything else, Lord. That's what the desire of our heart is, Lord, just to be in your presence. Lord, to walk in a way that you're pleased to dwell among us, that we might have your favor, Lord, and that we might love each other and enjoy one another in your presence. We believe, Lord, that you have purchased that for us and that you're present now with your great Holy Spirit, Lord, just to knit us that much closer together with your word. We love you, Lord, and we just ask for your blessings upon this service this morning, and also, Lord, that you just now go to our youth, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. You know what you're doing. We trust that. We don't question that, Lord. We just commit it into your hands and ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And I read there about the token, and we're going to be talking about the token in just a little bit, but this is really the seal of God and mark of the beast part two. But I want to get into the token. I want to tie those together because Brother Brown tied them together. So that's where we're headed. I'll tell you now, that's where we're headed, Lord willing. And so I'm going to start off with just a couple of comments of reviewing of what we talked about in the seal of God and mark of the beast a couple of weeks ago, or about 3 weeks ago. So two quotes that we want to read to begin with. The seal of God, Brother Branham said, now, I believe that there's just two answers to it, and that is that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of the beast is rejecting it. It's pretty simple, right? The mark of the beast is rejecting it. And now that's the only two things that I'm going to give you the scriptures now as we go through. And now one of them is to remember is that all people on the earth in these last days are either going to be sealed by the seal of God or the mark of the beast. That's what I want you to get, the other thing there. All peoples, everybody's making that decision now to either receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or reject it. And there's only one form of eternal life, right? If you're going to have it, you have to receive it. You have to receive that gift of God into you and have that life in you. Then if that life is in there, it's going to identify itself, right?
Yeah, right.
But all people that are on this earth is given that chance. And they don't know it. They don't realize it. But under a prophet's voice, they've been given that opportunity. And everybody's making their decision whether they receive it or reject it. So that's what's going on. It's going on right now. And the next night, Brother Branham, in the Mark of the Beast, he was saying in prayer, "Our Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne, that great throne of mercy, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior," he says, "we pray that you'll bless us. Bless the word tonight as we fellowship around it, speaking tonight on that great, tremendous thing that's right at our door, now going on in our cities and around the world." He's talking about the mark of the beast. And so we want to remember that as we go on. Now, we talked the other day about how that the mark, a mark of distinction, something that separates or something that sets apart. And so Brother Branham actually used that and said that phrase. It was a mark of distinction, but there's a difference between a mark and a seal. A seal is a mark too, right? But a seal has ownership to it, right? A seal has a whole lot more than just something being marked for distinction. And so God has his way of sealing people and sealing according to his purpose, marking. But it is a seal with him, and it shows his ownership. So we talked about how that the seal of God was showing, or any seal, whether it be canned goods or a boxcar or whatever it would be, that seal would show ownership. It would show, and that ownership, that seal showing ownership would show the characteristics of the owner. Remember, we talked about that. If you take, as we talked about the boxcar, and everything would be packed away, you could actually look at that seal and you could say, okay, this is identified with a man's name on it. This is identified to the man who's responsible for what's inside. So that which is inside, he's pleased with it.
Yeah.
He's put his mark upon it. So he's pleased with it. So you can inspect what's in there, and you can look at what's there, and you can get an idea about the guy who marked it or sealed it, right? Mm-hmm. Or you could, so it speaks of his characteristics, as he's not going to seal something and he disagrees with it. You know, the scriptures tell us not to bid someone Godspeed if they come with something different than what we know to be true, right? Because by just bidding them Godspeed, you're partakers of their evil deeds, says the Bible.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I think people need to be a little bit closer in the way they think about how they do things, because sometimes they might be blessing something that they really shouldn't be blessing, even when they're not thinking that they are. And so it shows of the character of the person. It shows the work that he's done. It shows the quality of what's inside the seal. It speaks of that. See, we know, understand that he won't seal it if it's not right. And so it speaks of the, and I didn't say this the other day, it speaks of the guarantee of getting to its destination place, right? But it also speaks of the destiny. I didn't mention that, but it speaks of the destiny, because these goods are fit for that dimension.
Yeah.
Or he won't seal it. He won't seal it, see? So what's in there is actually ready, and it's good, and it's purpose, so that it'll arrive, and when it arrives there, it'll be fit for the place that it's going to and for the one it's intended to. So that seal talks about all those things and the guarantee of its arrival, and he puts his name on it. And of course, the scriptures refer to it as the seal of God, right? And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's the name of God, right? See, it's all in one thing. He puts it all upon us. So we're talking about the seal of God and mark of the beast, and I'm getting toward Tolkien here in just a little bit, or will a bit. The first time we see in the Bible that a mark was used was when God marked Cain.
Right.
Do you remember that? And so Cain, you know, he had a judgment there, and he said, you know, it's everybody's going to kill me. And the Lord said, well, he put a mark up on him so nobody would kill him. And so that's the first time that you see it in scriptures. God used this mark, and he put it upon Cain, not that people would kill him, but that people would not kill him as a mark. And so I wanted to mention that, because it makes us take a turn to understand what this marking and this sealing has to do with. And so I'm going to make these statements, and hopefully as we go on through here, it'll come out and make more sense if it doesn't right off the bat. But when you're dealing with a mark or a seal pertaining to scriptures, much of the time, it's absolutely a life and death situation you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so for Cain, it was. It was a life and death situation. It was... He was subject to be killed for whatever the situation was, and God put a mark on him that he not be killed.
Yeah.
So he weighed in the balances there. Do you understand? So God did something to help him. And so this seal was something that was dealing with the possibility of death or life. So you see what I'm saying? And so you'll find out that all through the scriptures, it meant this decision of the sealing or the marking. It meant whether or not you were going to go free or whether you was going to stay in bondage. It meant whether or not you was going to live or whether you was going to die.
Yep.
All through the scriptures. And so I say all that because it's coming down here to the end. It means the same thing today as it did back then. So if Brother Branham said everybody's going to make that choice today, then right now the choices are being made, whether they're going to live or whether they're going to die, whether they're going to be raptured or whether they're going to go through tribulation.
Yeah.
It's all coming out right now. And I really want to capitalize on trying to help you see that, if you don't already see that, that we definitely right now, this is going on and has been going on for many years, and it's just about finished. And so he used it on Cain. That was the first thing, and it was a life and death situation. And so in showing the markings and things, you know, in the scriptures, we're commanded not to put writings in our flesh. Everybody know that? We're commanded not to put writings in our flesh, and we're commanded to not put markings and, you know, cuttings into our flesh. That's in the scriptures, right? And so, you know, if God wanted you to have marks all over your body, he'd have put them on there.
Yeah.
And if he wanted you to have all kinds of scars, he'd have put them on there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to say this because of the nature of what this is. He made us the way he wants us, and we really don't need to be trying to modify ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Let him do it. But he reserved this marking and these cuttings and all these things like that, and these boring and piercings and things like that. That's reserved for this topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
For the sealing and the marking, because it's life and death situations, see, that's being dealt with. And so these things are indicators of that. And so he tells us not to do it. And so, you know, Satan comes along just like it is with everything with God's word, and something that God sets over here as being something that should be reserved, and we're commanded not to have anything to do with it. And Satan comes along and has everybody do it.
Yeah.
They get tattoos, they get all kinds of piercings and all kinds of things. Who's behind that? What's the deal there? You understand what I'm saying? And it's still, even though it's that, it's still a life and death situation, because people who are living a life, who want to get marked and want to cut themselves and want to modify their bodies and all that kind of stuff, they're being influenced by death.
Yeah.
Right? They're being influenced by death when they do that. And so, the scriptures tell us not to do that. So when it is used in the scriptures, usually there's life and death hanging in the balance there. We find out in the scriptures, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's go there, I'm going to read those verses, chapter 11, verses 18 through 23, Deuteronomy. A God giving them his word, he says, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Excuse me. 19, and ye shall teach them to your children, speak of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What should the Christian have on his mind constantly? A true Christian who's really been touched in his heart, he wants to talk about God and all the good things of God and the things the Lord has done.
Yeah.
They were commanded, from a legal standpoint, the law of God, they were commanded to do that. But when that law is put in your heart, you automatically want to do that.
Right.
You automatically want to do that. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days... Now, think about it. What was the first commandment with promise? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Here's our Heavenly Father telling us, abide by my word. Let this be before you constantly. Put things to remind you on the doorpost of your house. You know, let it be on your hand and your forehead and that sort of thing. So he's telling us that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. So you're going to live long, happy, prosperous lives if you'll let this word be before you constantly.
Yeah.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
Amen.
In other words, God will drive out every evil thing, every sickness, ever you name it. And you will be possessors of these things that God said you could have.
Amen.
So he tells the children of Israel, he says that, and so we find out that it's to be upon their forehead and on their hand and even on the doorpost of their house. I've had more trouble getting things together for this service this morning. My computer gave me the blue screen of death this morning, and I was able to recover, but it really put a big chunk of time out that I was trying to get things together. And so I was going to provide the pictures and have all this so Sister Vicki wouldn't have to put all this stuff up here, but, thanks Mr. Gates or whatever for whatever, getting Bill Gates for his computer or whatever. But anyway, I wanted to show a picture. They call it a mezuzah. And I had to look down here. I've got that spelled M-E-Z-U-Z-A-H. Mezuzah is the way I pronounce it. But the children of Israel were commanded to put that on the doorposts of their houses. So they would take, and this law would be written on there. And they would put it inside this little thing, and they would nail it or put it beside your door of their house. Different sizes, different shapes. And I was going to show you a picture of that. As they come in and they go out, they'd reach up and touch that. But see, to them, that was the fulfillment. They would put it on the door of their house, and so when they would come in and they would go out, that law, that word of God was constantly before them. That everywhere they would go, when they was going out to go do business for the day, when they was coming home to be with their family at night, that word was there present.
Yes.
So he was telling you, he wants you to keep this ever before you. Why? Because this is the words of life.
Yeah.
So keep this before you. Keep it always as a frontlet between your eyes. And I mentioned how that you can pull it up. Frontlets, Jewish frontlets, if you want to put that. And you'll see this little bitty box, and they actually put a band around their head, and they'll have a box right there. And that same law that's written in that mezuzah, they put in there. They put it. So physically speaking, they're trying to keep the word of the Lord ever before them.
Yeah.
So that they're blessed as they come in and they're blessed as they go out. Remember in Deuteronomy 28, God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you the lender and not the borrower.
Right?
Right? I think about those things when people are bound down in debt and things like that where they can't make ends meet. And I know people, we all go through things like that. But my point is that God's way is a prosperous way, and he will make us the head and not the tail if we do the things we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If we keep him before us and keep his ways before us and not go off into something that's outside of the bands of what he has for us, we'll always be prosperous. He'll always take care of us. We'll have what we need. We'll have peace in our establishment. But it'll only happen when we keep the word of the Lord always before us.
Right?
Right? And so what I want to show you here is that keeping that word before them constantly, it was like a mark in their forehead and in their hand. And it was on their doorpost. So when they come in and they go out, well, what if you don't keep those things ever before you? Then you won't have those blessings. He actually said that in Deuteronomy 28. He says, but if you won't do this, then you'll be the borrower and not the lender. You'll be the tail and not the head. That's what he said. Go read it. It's a good reading there, Deuteronomy 28. And so he goes through that. So we want to be blessed as we come in, as we go out. We want to be blessed in our business. We want to be blessed in our homes. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we don't want to just have it like the Jewish people have it. They just have a mental, a legalistic standpoint, but we want to have that in our heart, because you know what? If you have that in your heart, you won't need some thing sticking on your forehead. You won't have to put it on the doorpost of your house.
Yeah, right.
But see, but that to them is a physical that God put there that was a type of what you and I have spiritually. That's the life of a Christian. The word of the Lord is ever before them constantly, the truth of his word. What you believe will always come on the outside. Right? What you actually believe will always come and manifest itself on the outside. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Or the outside will always reflect what's in there eventually. So what people are partakers of, and whether they receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast, all that begins to manifest outward in their appearances. So, and I'm saying that because a modern generation who's rejecting the word, you're going to see that in them. Their flesh, they're going to manifest, and those ways that they manifest are because they're void of God, and those ways, when you live in it and people are influenced by it, it takes people away from God because it's an ungodly system, okay? It's because they're away, and anybody that's influenced by that will be drawn away from God.
Right.
That's because it's an ungodly system. That's the way it works. And so, it's because it's a manifestation on the outside of what's on the inside. But if you have the Word ever before you inside, then your outward manifestations will always be manifesting the Word of God, the things that are right and true and pleasing to God, and that always influences and draws people back to the things of God, back to godliness, if that's what's in your heart. So a person who's accepted the seal of God, who's really got God inside, there's no way they can continually dabble and go on in things of the world. It can't be. And this is the thing Brother Branham was striking so hard in his day, that so many people believed they had an experience with God, but their works showed that they didn't.
That's right.
And he was trying to get them to the genuine thing, because the genuine Holy Ghost won't live out filth. And that's what he was trying to get to them. Of course, they didn't want to hear it. But that was so much. One of the main threads throughout his whole ministry was the genuine experience of God. Because it makes a man different. And so, if you got the Holy Ghost inside you, it certainly will show out on the outside. But then if it's not, then obviously that shows. So what's inside always shows on the outside, and it'll always show on the outside what you are accepting or rejecting in your own walk, your own spiritual things, you know, in your home and all that. All that eventually comes out, and it'll show what you're accepting in your life, or it'll show what you're rejecting.
That's right.
And so I was talking to my aunt this morning, and a lot of people consider churches like ours so judgmental. You don't have to say anything and they'll call you judgmental because you're different than them.
Right.
Why? Because you have something inside that makes you live outside differently than them. They see that and they are offended.
That's right.
And it's judgmental to them because the voice of God speaking through your appearance is condemning them.
Right.
Even though you don't even open your mouth. You're living epistles. You live the gospel every day more than you speak it. And it's a condemnation to them. So we just go on and say, well, I don't mean for it to be that way, but the Word of God separates. And so we want to stay with the Word and let it do what it wants to do. And so we see that mark happened with Cain. It comes up through scriptures. He had with the Jewish people that they were, the Word of God was like a marker, a seal to them. It was ever before them. It was like something on their forehead and their hands. I'm just tying that because the scripture said in the forehead and right hand. And you see that, and there's other times through the scriptures these things were used, and we may mention them here in just a little bit. And so we're coming up through history. And so I want to read Ezekiel chapter 9. And this is a little bit of a lengthy reading, but we're headed somewhere with this. So you keep pulling and praying. And before we start reading, I want to remind you, Ezekiel chapter 8, the Lord was showing Ezekiel all these abominations. And Ezekiel didn't even want to look at it. And God said, I'm going to show you even greater abominations that they were doing. And because of that, because of all the abominations there in Jerusalem and the Jewish people, that the things that ought not be, they were religious, but ought not be. Because of that, then here's what happened. And he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the valley, from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughtering weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed in linen with a rider's inkhorn. Let me back up just for a moment. When that high priest went in behind the veil we talked about last week, he put on linen. Different garment. That's when he was going back there. Mercy. Mercy. Look at this guy. He had linen on. Why he was going to go forth with mercy. Now watch this. He was clothed with linen and with a rider's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. That's the brass altar outside in the outer court where all the sacrifices are getting ready to do a judgment. See what I'm saying? All the symbols mean everything. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the chair whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, so that you'll know what city we're talking about, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for the abominations that's done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare nor have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Judgment starts at the house of God. Right?
That's right.
Judgment starts at the house of God where they claim to know, they claim to be representation of God. It starts there. Yeah. And so these guys went forth. And they went forth and started and said it started with the ancient men. It started with the guys that should know better.
Yeah.
Right? And it's always the same with God. He's got all these principles and this is the way it works. And so you see here what happened there. And so I'm going to read a quote to you here where Brother Branham talks about this. And it's in the Mark of Christ. So that you might know. Notice then, when he saw six men coming with slaughtering weapons, and there came forth a man from the altar dressed with white all over, and with a rider's inkhorn in his side. The third verse, now notice, before the men could go through this and slaughter in the city, he said, go ye first, God's mercy before judgment. This is what he's saying. And I'm sure that's what America is hearing right now. I'm sure that's what America's hearing right now. God's mercy presented to the people before judgment. Then when he seen this man went forth with the rider inkhorn on his side, he said, go into the city and set a seal upon the forehead of those men in Jerusalem that sigh and cry for the abomination that's done in the city. Otherwise, before the great destruction of AD 96, Titus sieging the walls of Jerusalem, the city. The Holy Spirit went forth, the man dressed in white with the marker's pencil on his side to put a mark upon the men who sighed and cried for the abominations was done in the city, God foretelling it so they'd be sure to be ready. And I don't have it in this quote, but Brother Branham said that was the fulfillment of what Ezekiel said. Because Jerusalem had rejected the word.
Right.
Israel rejected the word. And so God had come there with mercy. He had come there with mercy and was to mark all those who wanted the ways of God. And then after he marked with the mercy, then what was left was judgment upon those who rejected the mercy.
Yeah.
Everybody follow that pattern, see? And so that's what was there. And so he marked them with mercy, and so they rejected the word, but there were believers who did accept the word of God. They accepted the ministry of Jesus Christ and him being the Messiah. And how many remembers Brother Branham talking about it? The history says that none of the Christians were caught in that city when Titus came there and besieged it. None of the Christians, because Jesus said, watch, And when you see Israel compassed about with armies, you flee to the mountain of Israel, right? You flee and don't you come back and you make haste. You better pray it be not on the Sabbath because the walls be shut, right? You better pray that you're not with child because that's going to slow you down. This is how serious it was. And so Jesus said that. And history says that no believers. Why? Because all those who accepted the ministry of mercy, that destroyer that came as to bring judgment, couldn't touch them. See? Now that played out. I mean, we see there was, well, they got a mark. Don't touch those that are marked. But this is the way it played out. It played out through the flesh of an army and a man named Titus and his army. And it played out through the fact that they listened to the word of God and they fled to the mountains of Israel and they weren't caught in that judgment. These things play out through armies and through men and through kings and fleshed out because all these things, you know, that's the way it works.
Yep.
And so, pointing that out there, that this happened with Israel. When Christ was manifested to them, the God that they claimed to serve, just exactly the way Scripture said it would come, and he came and they rejected him, then this was the judgment that came upon them. And you go read the history of what it was in there. It was terrible. It was terrible what happened in that city. And you know what? I remember ministering this several years ago. Probably each one of you probably heard it. I don't know if you remember, but I talked about when judgment was pronounced upon Jerusalem and you had believers there and that judgment coming and those believers, that was their home. They had their friends. They had their neighbors, their family, and their little fellowship, and this was their life. But the prophecy said you had to leave that life. You had to get away from all these comforts and things of life and flee to the mountains of Israel where you're not going to have a home. It's not going to be warm. You're going to have to deal with the elements and all those things. But you've got to do that in order to escape judgment. Actually, what they had to do was to have the seal of God. But the seal of God made them happy to go the way of God. And in the fact of that, they fleshed it out. And they were saved from that judgment because they fleshed out the truth that was put in them.
Yeah.
Whereas those who rejected it stayed right there. So even the believers had to make a choice. And this is what we're faced with. They had to make a choice that this way of the Lord, it's not an easy way. It's not the easier path. It's a harder path. This way of the Lord causes us to have to say no to things that we love and we're dear to, but we've got to cut those things off because the word of the Lord says we have to, because if we hang there to those things, we're going to get caught in judgment. Right. Now we're getting over into the token message here. We're starting to get into that kind of thing, you see. There is a separation, and this is what the token and the marking is all about. It's a mark of distinction. It's a way that God uses to separate and segregate so he could accomplish his will. And so God's job, I'll say it this way now, that it's made easier by him marking and him separating. And now it's very clear. Why? Because all this is going to be fleshed out and it's all going to pan out in a certain way. It's according to that mark and who has it and who doesn't have it. So Brother Branham tells us this came to pass, this thing with Ezekiel came to pass with Israel in that day. They were religious people. They didn't want to let go of the things that were there, but they had to make that choice.
Yeah.
And the ones that were caught in there, it would have been because Christ was not greater riches to them. He was not greater riches to those who were caught up, who didn't accept it. So you understand the concept there. He's got to be greater riches. So there it was with Israel, and here it is again at the end time. The seal of God, and this is what I really want to make sure that everybody understands. You know, we have to come out of denominational thinking. We were all raised in it.
Right.
And when we come to a prophetic message, you know, we all had to cope with the idea about, you know, okay, I understand God sends a prophet, and I understand that we should really listen to him, but you know, there's something really got to click where you've got to realize this is the way of God.
Yeah.
To listen to this prophet. And so we all have to come to that. When you see it in Scripture, realize that's what it is, then you go to it. And once you settle down and say, okay, this is absolutely scriptural, that though that I'm to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that Spirit of truth will lead me and guide me into all truth, and he'll say yes to this and yes to that and no to these things, and he will fulfill his word. And when that end time ministry comes, because that's the word, that Holy Ghost in me will say amen to it and lead me right to that fountain of those truths. It's still the Holy Ghost in us telling us right, but it leads us to a channel of an end time prophet. And once we recognize that, then it opens us up to a tremendous amount of understanding in the things of God, because now we have a vindicated voice telling us. I can tell you, nobody else outside of the message, and I'm just saying this not because I feel the Lord has told me to say it necessarily or whatever, but the way I'm understanding is that nobody outside this message understands that we are in the hour now of this mark and this destroyer and these things going on. They don't understand. They don't understand these things. But we're in this hour now, and this is what I really want to see if I can help you to see. And it's in the quotes. And for the most part, I haven't heard a lot of ministers talk about it. Maybe some have. I don't know, but we're living in that hour right now where this is going on. And so we want to talk about that just for a moment. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. We're going to read some scriptures there, and then I'll go on with it. Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Don't ask you, when these guys went forth, was there anybody in the earth that had the seal of God? Apparently so. So I'm saying that to let you know that in the hour when this happened was happening, the seal of God was present. And we remember as we come through, as the wars and everything was coming forth, and it said, The winds were wars, and said, hold it, hold the wars, hold it right there, right? Till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead, sealed them. And then it started talking about 144,000 of the Jews. And remember, that was World War I. Hold it, stop, hold it right there. Don't let this thing unfold. I got to get my children, my servants back to their homeland. I've got to get them sealed with the seal of God, right? And then there's also the bride of Christ is the people who are to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. And remember, so now this judgment is coming forth, and it's coming forth, but God's got some people that are sealed. See, like the destroying weapons, you know, the destroyers, and they had their weapons, but one went forth first with mercy and marked him. And now once he's got a mark, there is a segregation that has been made by God. And it's a segregation by the Holy Ghost, a segregation of the seal of God. So now that they're marked, now God can move forth with his judgment, because there's a separating line there that makes it easier for this judgment to be carried out and not get over onto the righteous, because they've been marked. Everybody follow me? That's the concept. He wants to mark so that, to seal so that, that they're not caught in it. And so, you know, this was back World War I, 11-11-11, you know, November 11th, 1918, 11 o'clock in the morning, stop the war to make room for the 11th hour people, to make room so that the 144,000 could be sealed. So get all that sealing done, and then what happens? Now that judgment comes forth, and it's in the form of wars, it's in the form of all kinds of things. But now it comes forth, because now God, all God's got to do is get his people sealed.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Get them sealed, that'll take care of it. Why? Because, well, they're sealed with eternal life. It's him.
Yeah.
But just get them sealed, and then he can do all this judgment. It won't come out of their dwelling, because that separation has been there. Right? That separation has been put there. And so this happened. Remember, we talked about these things happening. It started about 1910. We went through this last year. And so all this stuff coming forth, And Brother Branham referring to this as the destroyers, okay, coming forth. And so in Revelation 9, we just read it there, these things begin to come forth. And remember, these locusts, when they went forth, you know, locusts normally eat green stuff. But here it says, don't eat the green stuff. That's not what you're commissioned to do. You're commissioned to go out here and torment every person on the face of the earth that don't have the seal.
Yeah.
Okay? So the bride of Christ, do Pentecostals have the real seal? No. But the bride of Christ has it. And we know the Jews are going to be sealed properly. Yeah. Right? They're going to have their seal. And incidentally, by them being in their homeland, that is their baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is our promised land. Being in their homeland is their baptism. So in a way, they're sealed when they're there. But we also know that they're actually going to come to that revelation of Jesus Christ. And that will seal them. But my point is that if you're not of those two categories, the bride of Christ, if you're not truly sealed with the genuine seal, these guys are going to have their way with you. So what they've sent forth to do, what they've been sent forth to do, they're going to accomplish. And we talked about that. What come from this, part of it was wars, divisions and all that. And so these guys, their purpose was to go out and to bring these torments. And they brought all this stuff that was going to bring it. And one of the things was an ecumenical movement. One of them was the Castle Bob. The bobbed hair, the women, all that stuff. These were spirits that came forth, and they're going out there, and they're having their way in the midst of all the people. And what is it? What's it doing? It's preparing the people for judgment.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's preparing it. Because why? Because we had justification, sanctification, and God's going to pour out His Holy Ghost upon us. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get the true seal of God in there, and then you have to realize what I'm trying to get to here is when that seal has come forth from God, rest assured the next thing is judgment. This is what Brother Branham is showing us through the token message and through these messages, is that God first, when He pours that out, then comes judgment.
Yeah.
When He pours that out, then it's those who receive it, then those who don't are marked.
Yeah.
That's that quote at the beginning. And this was to happen. So when did that happen? It wasn't in Luther's day. It wasn't in Wesley's day. We had Pentecost. You see what I'm saying? It was after that Pentecostal outpouring that this come into play. And that was outpouring was in 1906. So by about 1910, these things begin to roll. And we begin to have war after war after war after war. These plagues, the influenza was a result of it.
Yeah.
Because of what people were doing. But this move and shift going to judgment is now in the land because the true token is in the land. The true Holy Ghost is in the land.
Yeah.
God has brought the church through justification, sanctification. Now to where He can come in and seal His people, and now judgment strikes the land and He's going to clean house. So that's where we're at now. There's a true message, a true token that's here, but there's true judgment going on too. Judgment that may not be fully manifested what physically to the eye, but to those that are spiritual, you can see that's happening. And so destroyer went forth, and remember, and I have the quotes here, just probably won't be able to read it all because I got about 5 pages here, but I'm going to refer to them, and if the Lord will let me read them, I will, but you can look at them if you want. But Brother Ram ties this together, and he says, Israel coming out of Egypt, with the token message and the destroyer come forth. With Rahab, she had a token. She had a token message. And a destroyer came forth. Brother Branham identifies Israel and Joshua coming forth. He identifies him and refers to them as that great destroying army. He's tying this together. And here it was with Ezekiel and that destroyer coming forth to Israel. And he also ties it together to this, what we just read here at the end time. This destroyer's coming forth.
Yeah.
But that destroyer can't come forth until God seals His people first. Mm-hmm. But rest assured, it's here because God is sealing His people.
Yeah.
And that's where, so it's a life and death situation. The seal is at hand.
Yeah.
See, the mark of God. It's at hand. It's going on right now. And so it's seen in the token message, and he talks about it. So, I'll read some quotes here, and then we'll try to get done real quick here. Let me find where I'm at. So, Brother Bram says, in the token message, he talks about this. The life was going out from the sacrifice, and now the blood was the token, was a token of his, that his orders had been carried out. And that's what it was in Egypt. That dreadful night, just before death struck, the last plague, God showed his signs and his wonders to Egypt, his long-suffering, his kindness to Pharaoh and all the people. Has he not done it today? Showed his kindness. He sent many great signs throughout the land. He sent them a prophet, showed them signs and wonders, a pillar of fire, and all that he did. And yet, all that he did, they wouldn't repent. They would not come to God. They ignored all his signs. They ignored his prophet. They ignored his message. They wanted their own way. So God had been fed up with them. So he said, I'm going to make a separation now between those who believe and those who do not believe. And I think we're living in that time now where God's making a choice. Men will believe or they won't believe.
That's right.
So you see what's happening. He said God did all these things to show them. And he did all these signs and wonders. And Pharaoh, the government, the whole, everybody knew about it, what was going on. He sent him a congressman Upshaw. He sent him a King George. He sent testimonies among them, you understand? And they just wouldn't have it. Yeah. So God says, okay, I'm done with it. I'm going to seal them. I'm going to do one last thing. It was a death angel that night. He did all those miracles. He said, I'm going to do one last thing. And this will get the job done. Because when I get done here, I'm going to have judgment pouring out upon this earth. Like he did in Egypt. And that's what he did. He poured out judgment. And the thing that he did was a token. It was the shed blood of the Lamb. It was the life of the Lamb. With us today, it's the Holy Ghost. The people had to be identified. We could go and preach on the token all by itself, just, you know, detail after detail, what that token was for, how it came about, and that it was a, but it was a sign. It was a separation that God had put in there, a way to separate the people so that he could bring forth. You know, I think I mentioned this once before, but you know, if you were in a Middle Eastern country and you'd been captured by ISIS or something like that, and they had you in some little compound locked away in there, America wanted to come in there and get you, it would be a serious situation. It would take very, very high level of strategic abilities to come in there, and because there would be a lot of death going on, a lot of explosions, a lot of things going on, and the potential of hurting you would be there. See? And if they come in there with water pistols, that's not going to set you free. So the level of judgment has to ramp up sufficient to set you free.
Yeah.
But in that sufficiency to set you free, it also makes it pretty strict on you what you're doing in that time. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So God had to ramp it up to where death couldn't, he could have done it, God could do what he want, but he could have said, well, death's just going to strike Egypt. But God's plan said death was going to strike from Goshen, too, if they didn't have the blood.
Yeah.
That was his plan. See, God knows what he's doing. And so it's that way today. God has to ramp up what he's doing and bring judgment severe enough, but he's got to get us in a place where we're protected while that's going on. And that's what he's always done, was with the token, with the seal, a mark from God. And so, Brother Bram said, this is a cutting message, but it's truth. And what we need is truth. It's truth. God, help us to know truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I claim that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and day, forever. And I believe that God gives us the Holy Ghost as a token right now, just before the Exodus, before the bride goes out. The church. And so he's showing us now, God is pouring this out now for us just before an Exodus. And we know what that third Exodus is. It's into the land of the eternal, of the living. That's what that is. So Brother Bam saying God's pouring that out now. Mercy, the Holy Ghost, mercy. And so he goes, he talks about the death. He refers to it as destroyer in there. He says he could not go into a house, the death angel destroyer, and take out. He couldn't do it because the blood was shed of the Lamb, the requirement of Jehovah. And the requirement of him today is the blood, is the blood of his own Son and the token of the Holy Ghost. And if we haven't got it, we might be Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, whatever you might be. We might shout, scream. We might be oh so educated. That has nothing to do with it. You must present the token. Then you're subject. Then you're a subject for resurrection, because the resurrecting power is already in you. The token is the resurrection power, showing that Jesus raised from the dead, and you are raised from the dead, and the dead things of unbelief. So you're not just raised from the dead, but you're raised from dead things of unbelief. And this is where we get into the things of the world that you had to let go of. Made alive in the Word of Jesus Christ. You believe it, and the Word lives in you. He was talking about Rahab, and he says, one night in that whole great economy, one little woman and her ill fame probably excommunicated from every church and city, but she believed that messenger, and that messenger left a token, the sign, and God honored the token. So is it today. Just remember, when God's wrath destroyer that come, that big system fell. So he identified it as the destroyer there too. That system fell. The token kept her house safe. Not because she was a good woman, because she had faith and applied the token. And that's what, what if she would have said, yeah, them was five men. Certainly I enjoyed the message they gave. But honest, it sounds kind of silly to have a string hanging out of the window. I'll just pull it back in. He said it would fail. See, so she had to be identified with that message, no matter how silly it was, no matter what it was that, you know, she had to be identified. You know, he said that even the children of Israel, they could show that they were circumcised, but circumcision was not what was requirement.
Yeah, right.
It superseded circumcision.
Right.
It had to be the token, had to be the life of it. And that's the only thing that set people free. And so he identified that as the destroyer. And I want to say this, so that you'll know, if you go to Revelation there, where it talks about the name, this guy having a name coming out of there, out of the bottomless pit, the angel over the bottomless pit, and he had a name. His name was Abaddon or Apollyon. Look it up. Destroyer. That's what come forth. That's what's in the land today that's made the society of what we have now, because God has allowed it to come forth. But all while that's happening, God's got a people that are sealed. But that seal is a separation. That seal is a protection. That is a mark of God. And there's a lot of things that are there. But you have to be identified with it and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so God separates us. He has to separate us from the world enough. Right? He has to separate us enough from the world so that that when the judgment falls on the world, it won't fall on us.
Yep.
Right? That's what he has to do. And so there's a lot of things that I think a lot of message people don't listen to, but we've got to let the Word of God separate us from all unbelief and separate us from a way of life that's subject to judgment. Now, I know Brother Graham talked about, so we're going to clean up. We're going to apply the token. We're going to clean up. We're going to throw out all the television. We're going to throw out all the magazines and all the shorts and the smoking and drinking and all that stuff. He talks about all that. We're going to throw all that out. Why? Why? Why does he mention that? I've listened to four token messages in the last few days that Brother Graham preached, every one of them. Right? Why do that? Because that's a life that's identified with another life other than token life. You know, if you imagine that everybody, we're all out in the interstate, we're out in the meeting, and then this lane over here going this way is judgment. And this lane over here going that way is to the righteous or whatever. And you find out that we're born actually gravitating over into the lane of judgment. But if you're doing those things, women wearing shorts, men wearing shorts, I go ahead and say that too, smoking, drinking, all those things Brother Graham said, Those are things that are all belong in that lane. Judgment's going to hit. Not just because of the actions, but the life behind that's permitting the actions.
Right.
Judgment's going to strike that. So if we spend our time reading True Story magazines, you're just naturally, your thinking is going to, you're going to wind up in that lane, and you're going to get caught by the destroyer because you haven't clung to the token message. You haven't said no to those things and clung only to the token message. Now you find yourself over here, and if you spend your time watching TV and all those things like that that he mentioned, that puts you over in line for judgment. And that's destroyers coming for to get those things because you're identified with the firstborn nature. But God brings a separation to separate you in such a way that even though while you're in this world, you are caught up and you're sealed by that token, then that judgment cannot strike you, though you might feel it go by. See? But you can only, there's a certain amount of stuff that we have to separate from the world to get away from that, to stand clear from judgment. And that's why Brother Branham mentioned those things over and over and over. And so, when people don't do that, when people don't identify with the token, and they allow themselves to be in those things, when I said a while ago, you know, your outward actions will tell what's inside. What's inside will always come out. But when you see people that are involved in those things that are leaning toward judgment, even though judgment hasn't struck, you can look at their signs and what they're acting out and what's there, and you can see that as signs, pre-signs, or signs of pre-judgment. You can see it. You know that if someone is dabbling in those things, and if that's what they're occupied with, though judgment hasn't totally struck, that judgment process is already working in them and they're already going down. It's just a matter of getting them over there into that highway when that thing comes by and scoops them all up. You understand what I'm saying? That's all it is. So there's signs. You can see these things are signs, and that's what's out there. The world's mind, that's why when these things went forth, and Brother Ram said, the time will eventually come, they'll be totally insane. The time will come, they're totally insane, and they'll imagine all these things. They're degrading because they're not in the influence of the token. They are caught up in this lane of judgment, and it's pulling them away further. Why? The judgment's already started. Because they're moving in that direction. And they'll get caught up in such a place, way off. And what am I saying? All this is making it, going to make it easier for judgment to fall. But God is bringing the segregation between the world and His people, separating them from unbelief. I'm going to read about three more quotes and then we're going to finish. So we want to clean up our lives, right?
Yeah.
We want to clean up our lives.
Yeah.
Brother Bram said, if it ain't working, go back.
Right.
You'll hear them in several of the token messages. He said, and you're supposed to have the token, and he said, if it ain't working for you, go back and get the token because you don't have the token.
Right.
That's what he said. I'm going to read a couple of them, but you can hear it when he talks about it. He said, you've got to get back to everything combed out and clean. Then take your token that you know that it's Jesus Christ in you, then apply it. If something don't happen, there's something wrong. Go back again. Got the wrong thing in your hand. He promised it. He was the one who promised it. Apply it. So he's telling us if you're under token life, there's a certain thing that should be happening. There's certain evidences that should happen there. And he, and if you go back and listen to it, it's never been any clearer to me than it has this time, but you go back and listen to it, and what Brother Brown is telling us there, he says, you know, we're coming into this time where you have a true token. He said many times, a positive token. A true token, a positive token. And while all this judgment and everybody's being carried away with everything, you've got a standard against those things. They're commissioned to come and get you, but if you've got the true token, it can't get to you. If you've got the true mark, the true seal, it can't get you. And if you are claiming that you've got it, but you're not getting the successes that's keeping you from that stuff, and that God is identifying himself among you like he says he will, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Go back and get it. So he's letting us know, because in one place, I'll say it in my own words there, and I failed to get it, you know. I wanted to get the quote so I could read it. But he basically says this: sin and sickness and death cannot overcome that token. That token has no power against it.
Yeah.
No power against it. So the message that he's given us here is letting us know that we've arrived at an hour that if we truly have token life, you can get it done.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he says it. You believe for yourself, then you believe for your family. You take that token, know that you've got everything cleaned out, and when you've got all that stuff cleaned out of the world, out of your life, then take that true positive token, and you go to praying for your people, and you take that and present that token to God in prayer for your loved one.
Yeah.
And he said, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he said, if it don't happen, there's something wrong. Now, I know that's a reproach. That's a reproach to all of us to say, well, I've prayed many times and it ain't happened yet, you know. He says, sure, Christians are going to be sickness and things are going to try and attack him and all that thing. But he's showing us here that in this token life, we've got what it takes. We've got what it takes to defeat the devil.
Yeah.
For sin, sickness, death, you name it, we've got it.
Yeah.
That destroyer can't touch us. Well, if he can't touch us, then we probably won't have in our midst actions that make it look like he's touching us. Right? We won't be living like the world does, because they're the ones that are touched by him, by the destroyer. So he says, go back. You got the wrong thing in your hand, because he promised that he's the one. Apply it. Read Ephesians 2:12 sometime, if you wish, and you'll find it there. Old Dallas, he was in Dallas, Texas. He said, you lovely bunch of Christians, don't be carried away with this stuff today that you see going around, because it's going to perish. He says, play that token always. Display that token. Read the Bible. Come up to everything. And if your spirit in you don't say amen to that, then you'd better go back and change that you got for the token, because you haven't got it. I know that's a whole lot to say here one afternoon, and he talks about the fact they're having to leave. So he tells them there, if our spirit in us do not say amen to the word of God, there's something wrong. There's something wrong there. We better go back and get the right thing. And so, the last quote I wanted to read in the token message, he says, and this is what I want, because, you know, we were raised, I was raised in Pentecost. This is kind of an age that's just stuck on emotions, okay? And we're going to read something here about this. And this is how we want to approach it. You say, well, Brother Tony, I don't feel like that, you know, sometimes I'm not sure or whatever. Just do this. Brother Bram says, he's talking to the people at the end. He said, now just really mean it now. Just genuinely mean it. Let's just sit still just a moment, inside and out. Let's think of this sincerely. He said, it does bring emotions, certainly, but let's not think of emotions right now. Let's think of the sincerity of what we're doing. By faith, I lay my hands on my sacrifice, Jesus Christ. I want to be identified with his death. I'm through with the world. I'm through with Hollywood. I'm through with fashions. The women, I'm through cutting my hair. I'm through wearing immoral clothes. I'm through wearing makeup. I'm through playing cards. I'm through with the trash of the world. And you men, likewise, I'm through with drinking. I'm through with smoking. I'm through with lying. I'm through with jokes. I'm through with jesting. I'm through with all these idle words that the Bible says that we're going to give account for. I want the seal. I want the token in my life. I'm laying my hands by faith right now upon my sacrifice, Jesus Christ. I'm identifying myself as a dead man or a dead woman, boy or girl. I die now with him because he died that I can live. And I'm accepting my life in him. And, oh Lord, make it known to me tonight that eternal life now dwells within me. And he said, think those thoughts. Believe those things. You don't have to worry about say, you know, I jumped up and I shouted or whatever. Brother, don't do that. With a very serious, make your decision. By faith, knowing that you're a sinner, lay your hands on the head of Jesus Christ as he quivered on Calvary, knowing that he died for you. And reckon yourself dead with him and then alive with him. See, dying there with him and now alive with him and that his life is in you. And you make that confession out of sincerity. Don't even worry about emotions. You do it. You go forth believing those things and thinking those thoughts. God's obligated. All right? God's obligated. So, because some of those things he listed there, all of those things that he listed there are part of what that destroyer went forth to make happen. He went forth to make the women cut their hair. He went forth to make them start castle bobbing and putting makeup on and dressing the way they did. It wasn't that way before. He went forth to bring rock and roll. He went forth. Do you see what I'm saying? And so a lot of those things were around anyway, lying and all that. But he went forth. Why? Because that's the judgment is moving everybody that way, and that's a total decline of the mental capacity of the human race. Right? Because it's insane people that go around and run around naked.
Right.
It's insane people that cut their flesh.
Yeah.
Insane people that put holes through them. Mm-hmm. Insane are heathens. Which if they're heathens, they don't know God, then they're insane. They don't have the right mind of God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Insanity, because a person in a right mind will not be trying to hurt their own flesh. Mm-hmm. A person in a right mind will not be trying to mark themselves with some crazy mark. See what I'm saying? But that's the hour that these things, and they just exploded. There's people out there that their whole bodies, they cover their whole body with tattoos, piercings and stuff. I'm not condemning them. I'm telling you that's an explosion because there was a destroyer went forth. And that's depicting the whole thing going to judgment. But God said, I got a token for you. I got a mark that you can be marked with, a seal that you can be sealed with. And these things won't come nigh your dwelling. They will not come to you, though you'll have to contend with them. You'll have to deal with it, but it won't be a problem for you because you've got overcoming power. We should be thankful that God has kept us. We should be thankful because he's kept us and kept those things from us. But we want to have a confidence knowing that that what God has told us, he will do. And I think we need to arm ourselves with a different mindset, and that is with a mindset that the sin is sickness and death cannot prosper against us.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that we should start moving in a direction where we call the devil's bluff, I guess you could say. And when he comes up and says, you know what, I'm here to ruin your day, you need to remember who you are.
Yeah.
And many times without great sensation, just say, Satan, it ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen because I am presenting token life to you. telling the brothers this morning that, and this is why this happened, just so it goes right along with what I see the Lord dealing with us on. And we got back Friday night and my sinuses started burning and like they always do, and I woke up about 3:30 or 3:40 yesterday morning, and I was astonished at how rapid my sinuses had inflamed. They were absolutely just, you know what it's like, and it was the same situation that normally would send me for 2 weeks with a severe sinus infection of all the things that go with it. And that hit me, and I just kept hearing something down inside over and over and over, just like a record replaying over and over and over. And it was saying, I don't receive it. I'm not taking it. I don't receive it. And that's what I did. I actually said, okay, I am not receiving this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you that next week I'll be able to do the same thing again. If it, you know, I'm telling you what happened. But I said, but I'm telling you where it is. The life of the token, what I just heard Brother Branham tell us, that token life has got the goods against all those things. And so that's what I said. And I got up and worked all day long around doing things around the house and outside and stuff. I never had to blow my nose once. It wasn't stopped up. I've not had any more burning, no more draining, no nothing.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
But something was there just playing over and over. Dismiss it. Dismiss it. Dismiss it. It's not yours. And that's what I did. And praise God, it worked. Because I don't like those things, you know. But I think the Lord did that for me because He knew what He was putting on my heart to share with you. I really, saints, we really live in an hour where we're underneath what the privileges of what He's given us.
Yes.
And from what I hear now is that with token life, when we can stand there and look death in the face and say, sorry, you're going away disappointed today. Because we have token life.
Amen.
A seal. A true seal. A true token. A mark of God. A seal of God. And so the whole world's given opportunity for this message, to receive this message, and if they don't, then they're automatic. Satan's a void filler, right? He's a void filler. And so, you know, when a person doesn't spend sufficient time with their children, Satan's going to fill it.
That's right.
You say, well, I made mistakes like that. Well, God can fix it. If you get serious with it, go back to Him and say, repent and all those things. See, coming clean. Coming clean before God is what it's all about. Just have no condemnation, because the scripture says, if our hearts condemn us not, right? If our hearts condemn us not, then we know that we have that petition. Amen. And so that's what we want to do. We certainly want to just be honest before God and before each other and believe for all the promises that He's given us. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let the team come up. Heads, everybody, with your head bow. I know that each one of us have our own struggles and things, and I just, before we pray, just ask that if you have the battle that you're going through, you see places here where you know that token life's not totally, completely displayed in your life, that you would ask the Lord in prayer. If you want to raise your hand, that's fine. Let Him see and know that you ask Him for His help as we pray. Lord Jesus, we come to the end of the service this morning. We know that You have given to us, Lord, a true token. Lord, not something that just gives way to emotions and but gets off of the Word, Lord, but something we realize that Your Holy Spirit always takes us back to the truth of Your Word and will manifest the truth of Your Word. We'll say amen to Your Word. Lord, we're happy to be identified with that kind of life. We're happy to know, Lord, that You're moving among us with a message, Lord, that will perfect us and will cause us to have a body change, Lord. We love You and we thank You for that. We ask, Lord, that these things that we've heard today, that each heart as it has spoke to them, Lord, we pray that they will just sincerely place before You this morning those things where they feel the lacking. Lord, knowing that this is not a message of condemnation, but this is a message of grace to prepare us, Lord, so that those things of judgment will come our way. And so I ask, God, that You would help each one of us to be so sincere, ever sincere this morning, lay our hands upon the sacrifice that You gave the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering on Calvary that He died for us, Lord. let us just place all of the judgment upon him by faith, Lord, knowing that as he died, we're dying. And whatever this problem I have that I can't seem to overcome, I'm laying it there on his head, and it dies as he dies. And Lord, as he came forth, that we came forth with him, we want to just accept that in totality this morning, Lord, that all the benefits of Calvary would be resident in us, Lord. We pray, God, that you just be with all the ones that are missing this morning. I pray, God, that these same things would be working in their lives. And Lord, that each one of us, Lord, that all of us together as a group and each as an individual on that day, Lord, that we'll have joy in our hearts and not sadness. I ask, God, that you'd help us in these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you that tells you that there's no way out. There's no way out for your children or for your family or for whatever the situation is. That's what he wants to put in front of you. But we're not living in a day where we have to submit to that. God has brought too much in our pathway and too much before us and given too much into our experience for us to have to put up with that. Because God doesn't want a people that's going to go out in a dud. I believe he's got a people that's going to go out with a bang, with a rapture. And one of the biggest things that you can do in your household, those that are married, is for a husband and wife. When your household is faced with an issue, or your whatever it is, whether it's in your house or if it's just something you're facing with, that you're burdened with, I don't care if it's... It doesn't make a bit of difference. Brother Bram said, whoever you can get underneath that token, get them underneath. Whether it's your neighbors, if it's your friends, family, whoever. Everybody that you can get underneath that, get them under there. So it doesn't matter. But one of the biggest things that a couple can do is that they can sit out together with just like the decision there a little while ago, without emotion, just sit out and say, this is what the promise. It's God's promise.
Yeah.
And for that man or woman, sit there together and join hands and defy Satan based on the promise. And just say it. You know, I my grandson, Evan, in the house the other day, sitting at the bar, and I just reached down and spoke in his ear, and I said, Evan, God's going to save your mommy and your daddy. I didn't say that in myself. I didn't say that because I feel strength. I said that because God's got a promise. Amen? So the best thing you can do is join together as a household, husband and wife. Join together, and whatever it is that Satan's putting before you that tells you that there's no hope, you tell him he's a liar. If you see a promise laying there, you put that promise in action. And you hold that token there. You just hold it right there in front of him and say, Satan, you can't do it.
Right.
And you watch what God will do. You watch it. And so that's really what we want to do. We want to do that. Just happy to know that God is among us that way. Had a guy at work that works for me. He's Mormon. He's actually a Mormon priest. And they have a certain amount of time that they do that lot, and then he won't do it for a while. Or, you know, I don't know how it all works, but the Lord's given me favor with him. And so I'm able to share with him, you name it. And it's kind of funny because the picture of George J. Lacey that we have back there on the thing back there, the examiner that did the pillar of fire photo. Well, this guy that works for me, his name is Paul Martin. Put about 10 more years on Paul, and that would be Paul. And I've known that for a long time, but this week I started telling the story about the pillar of fire and how that they, Brother Branham had all the opposition and stuff. And I said, I told him the whole story and everything. And I said, you know, that guy looks like you, you know. And so he said, what'd you say his name was? So he punched up on the computer, and here come that picture up, and he just started laughing. And he said, Jeff, that's me, you know. So I can see it, you know. But I was talking to him the other day, tears coming up in his eyes, sharing a message with him. I told him, I said, you know, and I shared this about Ezekiel's what I did, because he told me, he said, I was very grieved last Sunday. He said, I was very grieved. I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, he said, and my two oldest daughters are out. They're married now, and they're on their own. And he said, my next to the oldest, she didn't come to church. So she didn't come to church. He said, I called her up later in the day, said, how you doing? You know, is everything okay? And he said, I just, you know, wonder where he was at this morning. And she said, I just slept in. And it grieved him. And I told him about Ezekiel. And all of those who sigh and cry against the abominations, those who have a burden for the sinners. And when I told him that, he started crying because obviously his daughter means a lot. He told her, you know, you're at a crucial time in your life. You're young, you're married, you've got a family that's, you know, going to be coming. And if you need God now, you're just going to try and walk away from it. So he's concerned. But I was just mentioning that because I'd like to ask for you to pray that for that relationship between he and I, because I really think he's listening a lot closer than what he would be as a Mormon. And I'll tell you, he's a gem. He's impeccable with his character and his work ethics and his you know. And so if he come into the message, I would probably, you'd probably hear me shouting for a long time, because it would be a real blessing. But anyway, I'm just asking that you pray about that the Lord would hover over that relationship with he and I. We've had a chance to do a little traveling together and working together, so we got a little special time together. So just ask that you pray for that situation. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. You got to go and apply the token? Amen. Remember, Brother Ram said to apply it in prayer. You must present your token. Right? You got that seal, but you must present it. You can't hide it under a bushel. When you go to work, when you come, when you go, when you're going in and out, you're applying, you're showing that token. It's there before you.
Yep.
As you're coming and you're going, as you go to work, as you come home, as you rise up, as you lay down, you're showing that token. And when you come to prayer, show the token. And when you come to battle, show the token. Right? That's what you want to do. God bless you.
I need